You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It was the nicest movie about a whorehouse you ever did see. One of the top grossing films of 1982, The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas emerged so radically different from the original Broadway musical that it has almost erased it from memory. With the story rewritten into a romance, allegedly per star Dolly Parton's request, scene-stealing turns from Hollywood pros, and some extremely lavish outfits, is this an instance where the movie actually improves on the stage musical? Did Dolly's added songs help or hinder? And just how many gay boys were thrust into an early adolescence by that Aggie shower scene? I'm Mark Peikert, a chicken shit sheriff in a chicken shit town, and this is Movie Musical Madness. Y'all come back now, you hear? And now, let's give a rowdy Texas hello to the best working girl today, Deputy Drew Droege.
Hi, Mark.
Oh, Drew, I was unbelievably delighted that you love this movie as much as I do.
I love it so much. No, I saw your list, and I was like, please, nobody else take Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, because it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite movie musicals, and I've seen it. Gosh, I've seen it, I want to say, like, 2 or 3 dozen times.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
I grew up on this movie.
Yes.
Which is shocking. My mother wouldn't let me watch MTV.
Right. No, same. It was like, there was something about it, I think because Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds were in it, that it was, I remember, this is so crazy, it's just coming back to me. Every month you would get the HBO guide of like what movies were coming, and it was on the back for the next month. And I remember seeing that graphic, and it was all painted and beautiful, and seeing Dolly Parton on it, and I was like, I have to see that movie. And I called it The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas when I was a kid. I was such a clean little child. I had no idea what I was watching. But there was something about it that it's very innocent and beautiful.
Did you know that it was a Broadway musical when you started watching the movie?
Not as a kid. No.
I don't think that I knew it either, which is strange because I grew up in small town Texas. My grandmother's actually from LaGrange, the town with the real chicken ranch.
Wow, okay.
And her house was set down back from the road. And so she would, when she was growing up, she would have all of these men driving up to her door, knocking on the door. And her father was the Presbyterian minister.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
And so these horny business guys would knock on her door looking for the chicken ranch, and it's the minister's house.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
And how Texas is that?
It's the most
No,
Texas.
Y'all, whorehouse is down the street. We're the church. Nice to meet y'all. Have fun.
But I mean, we had it, I think we taped it on a VHS tape from HBO or something.
Oh, sure.
And just watched it over and over and over. And totally. It wasn't until when I was in high school, I think, I started in small town Texas. Well, in all of Texas, they have history fair, like science fair, but nerdier.
Okay, sure. I'm sure I would have been all over that in North Carolina.
So I did history fair, and my history fair project was Marvin Zindler shutting down the chicken ranch.
Oh my God, I love it.
And so I did all of these like primary sources and went to the old Newsweeks and the Life magazines.
Oh, awesome.
And so I fell into the whole musical because the book, so the musical is based on a Playboy article by Larry L. King.
Yes.
And then they did the musical, he and Carol Hall and Peter Masterson, Mary Stewart's father.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they did the musical, and then he wrote a book called The Whorehouse Papers about the making of the musical. He doesn't come across great in the book. He was particularly perturbed that basically so many homosexuals won at the Tony Awards.
Really?
He was so upset that The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas lost the Best Musical Tony Award. to Sweeney Todd.
Oh, what? I've never heard of that.
No.
Sweeney what? Not
Bessel,
familiar.
Bessel Horace was the triumph story of 1979. But so the show ran.
Oh my God, hilarious.
The show ran for over 1,000 performances.
Right.
Like, it is one of those shows that has inexplicably disappeared and isn't really talked about. Like, they talk about a revival every now and then, but people don't really
people
know
don't
the show.
Know it. I've actually never seen it. I've never been able to catch it. It's such a hard musical to do. It's a giant cast.
Yeah.
The Aggie number alone is, I think, 8 minutes of just men very beautifully and very erotically dancing in the, you know, from the game to the showers to getting on the truck to get to the chicken ranch. It's a hard show to do, but I know that, like, I have the soundtrack of the 1978.
Yeah.
So it's Carlin Glenn. And it was Miss Mona. And it's,
yeah.
She was a very different character than Dolly Parton, right?
She's in a wheelchair.
Oh.
Miss Mona's in a wheelchair.
Wait, what?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
Well, that's a terrible idea for the lead enemies. I mean, you know.
Well, she's tired.
No, but like, there's no
she's
reason why she's
an old whore.
So she's be dickin' from the Secret Garden. Like, put her in a wheelchair. That'll work. Because I have this script also, because I'm that nerd. I was in high school.
Oh.
I would go to Samuel French and I would go on the catalog and I would order scripts of all the musicals and would call Samuel French when I, you know, from Lincoln to North Carolina and act like I was interested in like perusal material for possible productions. And I would get everything and I would have, because I could get Grease. I got Little Shop of Horrors. I got, you know, so Pump Boys and Dinettes. Like I got all the Samuel French musical books that I could. And Best Little Whorehouse was one of them. And it reads like she's so tough. I mean, there's even a line in the musical where in the stage show where she screams at one of the girls and she goes, "Get that Dolly Parton wig off your head." So it's like she's really not at all like Dolly. And
she is not a warm,
no, matronly
figure.
It's more like a Margot Martindale. It's like how it reads in the
book.
It's like she feels more like that.
It's like if August Osage County were about a whorehouse,
which I'm all about.
Like, I would love that.
See, I would love that too. Like, I don't know. I would love to see it, and I would love to see it staged really darkly and everything. Because, I mean, because Ed Earl is not, they're not really romantically.
Not at all.
He has a song at the end called, like, She's a Good Old Girl or something, and it's so, ugh.
It's
so painful.
So I did a community theater production. I was a faggot, an Aggie. And I did that dance. I don't know how.
Oh,
I have
my
no
God.
Rhythm.
We're gonna womp.
Yeah.
And stomp.
I didn't actually sing that song. Per popular request, I lip-synced. Throughout the entire production.
Oh my God, you're like me in musicals.
Yes.
The musical director will come up to me like in group numbers and go, "Can you just mouth the words? We don't need your voice here."
And I was not a joke. I was in Good Old Girl, and then I was asked to depart the number because one, I was so bored I couldn't disguise it.
Oh, it's a horrible song.
So the very for anyone who does not know the stage version, the basic premise of the show is Miss Mona is running the Chicken Ranch Whorehouse in small town Texas. And two new girls have just arrived to start working there. And so they are our introduction to the workings of the Chicken Ranch.
And they're not in the movie, right?
No, they're not.
Their names are Angel and Shy.
Yes.
I'm literally not looking. I promise not looking at notes.
This is how I'm very impressed.
Much a nerd I am about the show.
Angel and Shy. And then they have a makeover song called Girl, You're a Woman.
Oh, right. I love that song.
When the horse started.
Beautiful.
Pretty soon, you're going to look a lot like me.
You're a woman. Oh, it's so good.
And then newscaster Melvin P. Thorpe is on a crusade. And so he shows up and gets the chicken ranch shut down. The sheriff goes to fight the closure with the governor of Texas. Mm-hmm. The governor's like, sorry, I don't do anything. I'm a politician.
That's your little sidestep. Right.
That's right.
Right.
And then the whole whorehouse shuts down and all the girls are so sad and they sing Hard Candy Christmas. Because this is what I'm obsessed with. Everyone thinks that Hard Candy Christmas is a Dolly Parton song and it is not. It's a Carole Hall song.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So then runs and runs and runs, wins Tony's for Carlin Glenn and Henderson Forsyth as sheriff, the sheriff and Miss Mona.
Mm-hmm.
And then movie. There's going to be a movie. So the original was directed by Tommy Toon and Peter Masterson.
Right. And yes, that's right. Tommy Toon did this.
And Tommy Toon choreographed and they were hired to direct. And there were a lot of people they were looking at. They were looking at Barbara Mandrell.
Oh, wow.
They were looking at Crystal Gayle. They were looking at Kris Kristofferson.
Okay. Oh, because of Star is Born.
Yeah,
totally.
And then they landed on Dolly and they said, okay, well, if we have Dolly, let's get Willie Nelson to be the sheriff. And I think Dolly pushed for Burt Reynolds, and Burt wanted to sing. And somebody said, oh my God, have you ever seen him in At Long Last Love?
Oh.
That turkey. Don't let him sing.
At Long Last Love, what is that? It's
Madeline Kahn, Sybil Shepherd. No, Eileen Brennan, Sybil Shepherd, Burt Reynolds, Peter Bogdanovich. They all sang live on set. It's a Cole Porter-esque.
Yes. Oh, it's all coming back to me. Okay. Yeah, totally.
That'll be another episode.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Ooh, that gobbler.
Just like turkeys. Yeah, exactly.
So Burt wants to sing. So they're like, oh my God, we don't want to do this. And then the rumor is Dolly Parton had Peter Masterson and Tommy Tune fired because she got Colin Higgins, who directed 9 to 5.
Oh, okay.
There to come in and direct. Mm-hmm. Because Burt Reynolds has this amazing quote where he was like, oh, Dolly Parton's very self-deprecating in public.
It's amazing the power that woman has and the business savvy that she has. I mean, truly, like, I mean, as sharp as anybody, like, I mean, just the fact that she knew, I mean, also like for her to do that and then go, all right, we're going to do Whorehouse and it's got to be Burt Reynolds. It's got to be Colin Higgins.
Yeah.
And just to know like how to elevate that. I mean, or just change it for her. I mean, she definitely, because I don't know if they improved on the stage show to make that movie, but they definitely made it a lot more of a crowd friendly. Like yes. They made it a hit. Like it would not have been a hit had they done what they did on stage. I can't imagine.
And I love the focus on the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had this long standing affair.
And Sneaking Around is a great song. Oh, it's a perfect song for Burt Reynolds' voice.
I love Sneaking Around. So do you know about the song that got cut? That Burt Reynolds recorded?
No.
So he recorded this real snooze fest of a song where he's just standing in an empty field. I think it's called Where Stallions Run.
Oh, okay.
And they cut it, rightly so. Uh-huh. And then when it aired on network television, they had to cut so much of the movie out.
It wouldn't even
fit in the 2 hours with commercials running time. So they had to add it back in.
Okay.
Because remember when it would air on like USA all the time? When USA was like the racy cable channel with silk stockings. And they would be racy, but they would also dub so much. So at one point, Burt Reynolds says, you paid $25 for those? You got screwed. And you see his mouth say screwed, but what comes out is someone else's voice saying gypped instead of screwed. Because God forbid the best little whore else in Texas has screwed.
Oh, I know. We have whore in the title, but don't say screwed.
So I have to ask, one of my obsessions as a child with the show, there were several. One was when one of the girls stands up on the key change of Hard Candy Christmas, sitting astride the railing of the gazebo of the porch.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
One is Dolly Parton in her lingerie coming out with a rifle.
Absolutely. In fast motion. Yes. Exactly.
Ready to like shoot and take some names.
Oh, absolutely.
And one of them was with Theodora Van Runkle's costumes.
They're so beautiful.
When you're introduced to Dolly Parton with her red peep toe heel.
Oh, I know. At the top of the stairs.
Holding her skirt up and then drop the skirt and then slow pan up all of the sequins. Bob Mackie couldn't work for a year after this movie.
I mean, I know. And it's just, and also how they captured that time. There's something so early 80s about it and so Texas about it as well in the costumes.
There's the colors. There's an almost ignorant excess to it before it became Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's very Texas. It's totally. No, the bigger the better. My hair needs to be higher.
Absolutely. And this is, and they're pageant girls that, you know, and it also, you never felt sorry for any of these women that were there. They loved being there. Miss Mona loved them. Is it Teresa Merritt? Is that the woman who's like also works, who takes care of her? Her name is Jewel.
I think it's Jewel in the movie too.
Now that's a great song in the stage show, 24 Hours of Lovin', that she has it's so good, that she and Mona have together.
Well, she,
doesn't she have another song too?
She has 24 Hours of Lovin', and she and Mona have No Lies.
No Lies is the thing. Okay, that's what I'm, yes.
And No Lies is basically, I'm sorry, do you think that life owes you anything? It doesn't.
Don't hand me that.
Mm-hmm.
Sad self-pity game. Oh yeah, it's so good. And then, 24 Hours of Lovin' is just pure art. Like, it's so much fun. It's so good.
So it's so weird because this is a musical, but I don't think about the I don't think about songs with this movie that often. I think about the Aggies dancing.
Sure.
Bare-assed in the shower. God. Which I just discovered prepping for this conversation. There is an extended cut of that number.
Oh.
That has been reconstructed.
Oh, okay.
With additional shower moments. There are more naked butts in the shower. One of them gets slapped in the shower. And then that sequence ends with all of them holding bars of soap and squeezing them so tight they fly out of their hands.
What?
And they all smile at one another.
Oh, my Lord.
And then there's more dancing with towels after that got cut. And then they all, like some guys in the back, rip their towels off and then slide under other guys' legs, like on their towels, naked on their towels.
I mean, here's the... That is 100% my aesthetic for like what I find so sexy. And I still think the cut as it is in the movie is long. Like I can't imagine. I mean, and I would love it, but it's so insane. It's like, at what point are you, you know, are you just going like, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. I mean, at what point is it like Family Guy when they're like, we're going to double down on this. We're going to commit. And we're just going to keep going. Cause it's crazy how long it is. Like even for a musical, like, just like, and it's just pure dancing.
Well, it's so much dancing, and then they all pile onto the bus.
Right.
So this is what I'm obsessed with. It's just like, let's spend as much time with these horny football players as we possibly can.
Right.
They pile onto the bus. The bus gets a flat tire. What are they going to do? And then that old farmer drives by with his truck full of hay. And then you have that beautiful shot of all of the Aggies popping up with their hats against the setting sun.
It's so beautiful. Yeah.
I mean, this is, we were talking about so many movie musicals of this time period. No one really spent the time to make them look good.
Right.
Because it was not a great time for filmmaking for celluloid.
Right.
Yeah. Celluloid wasn't looking great.
Right.
And this one is gorgeous.
I know.
Everything is like jewel tones. You've got that amazing setting sun when Ed Earl goes to confront Melvin P. Thorpe.
Right.
All of Dolly Parton's costumes, that scene where they're lying on the, by the river when they go camping.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I was just going to say that. That scene is so gorgeous and so like, and lovely between them. They're so natural together.
The whole thing about Jesus and Mary Magdalene was ad-libbed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's perfect. It humanizes them and it's like, it's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, it's funny to think about, like, it was right after, it would have been after Can't Stop the Music, which also has an extended shower scene in that. And then Annie, I mean, all the movie musicals around that time were like not good. I mean, like they were just like, they weren't fun. I mean, I think Grease 2 is a masterpiece,
but
I'm trying to think of like what else is from the early 80s. There were so many movie musicals because everything was still trying to be Grease.
Well, it's like Xanadu.
Which is awful.
Roller Boogie and
terrible.
Apple.
The Apple, which is amazing, but also horrible.
That's a separate conversation.
Right. I mean, The Apple is like Cats. You know, it's like, you know, it's one of those, you're like, it's so bad, you have to watch it. But, and so European and so strange. But like, there were so many that came out around that time. They were all trying to do that. And yeah, like no one puts Whorehouse in the category with all those other things.
No.
I think people think of it more as a movie or a comedy or a...
Yeah, yes.
You know?
And part of it is it's genuinely funny.
It is.
Like Annie isn't funny, but you have Jim Nabors. You have Charles Durning.
And you have Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise.
And mark my words, one day I will play... Melvin P. Thorpe. It is a dream. When people say, what are your dream roles? I'm like, I always say Melvin P. Thorpe.
Do you really?
It is. I want to do it so badly. I cannot sing, but I could do that. I mean, like, that's not hard. And I just am obsessed with that character. And a lot of it is, I love Dom DeLuise so much. I mean, there are very few people that make me laugh. I mean, in every Mel Brooks movie, he can be the most homophobic character. And I'm crying laughing. I don't know how he has the ability and how he has the agency to do that to me. But I find him like brilliant. And that scene with Burt Reynolds where he's like tucking and like, you know, where he's stuffing.
Yes, he's stuffing.
Oh my God.
Talk about the nuts.
Full nut.
Not nook, nut bits. No, not nut chunks. Full nuts.
And that stupid... like page boy awful wig that he wears. I mean, it's just so...
Oh, that gets ripped off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I mean, that scene in the state capitol.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So there are so many moments where you get a catharsis in the movie that does not exist in the stage version. Because this is the Hollywood fantasy of this real life story.
Right.
Because all of this is true. Like, there was a brothel called the Chicken Farm, really. But then it eventually became the Chicken Ranch because everything's bigger in Texas.
Oh, sure.
and it was run by Miss Edna.
Okay.
And Miss Edna had a bit role in the stage musical.
Okay. Oh, when they do like the 20 fans at the beginning.
When the predecessor passes on the property.
Right.
And then Marvin Zindler was a real Houston newscaster who I watched growing up. And his big thing was Slam in the Ice Machine.
Oh.
And he'd go to restaurants and uncover like corruption and graft. And he apparently loved the stage version. Because the stage version really talked about how he was going after the Chicken Ranch because of possible mafia connections.
Oh,
because
that's
not
in the script that
we
have.
Small town Texas.
Oh, sure, exactly. Yeah. The mafia loves small LaGrange, Texas.
Yeah.
That's really their stomping grounds.
Yeah,
but the version that at least that you can get now, like in print, is very similar to that character. Is very similar on stage.
Well, and maybe it was just the emphasis became. He just wanted to shut it down for media attention.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he was always adamant that he didn't do it for media attention.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because there were no prostitutes or sex workers in Houston.
Of course not. No, not pristine Houston.
No, my goodness. That's where I grew up.
Those are always the people that have a Rolodex full of hookers on them. And it's like, come on.
A newscaster in 70s Houston, please.
Please, honey.
but there are all these moments of catharsis in the movie where you see Ed Earl knock out Marvin Zindler or Melvin P. Thorpe, and you see him, the entire town rooting for him as he's shooting his gun in the air and telling off Melvin P. Thorpe and pushing him into the fountain, which then comes back and bites him in the ass because
he's on TV, y'all. but it is fun how like the whole movie, like the town is on the right side, like is like,
yes,
everybody loves the Chicken Ranch.
Well, and she made a point. She sponsored all those little league teams, which is also in real life.
Oh,
she
did. Sure.
And then she tried to buy a retirement home in LaGrange and they said, oh, here's your deposit back, honey. It was fine when you were working here, but we don't want you living with us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's like the worst. That's like that's the weird reality of the South. It's like they love that. That's like, I'm hard to put that into words, but that's way more what it's like. It's like, oh yeah, as long as you're playing by the rules and you're giving us money, we'll be real nice to you and whatever. Uh-huh. But then we really don't want you here.
No. Although she apparently only washed the girl's sheets once a week.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
History will decide. But I mean, so if you had to choose a favorite moment in this movie.
Oh, boy.
Or one that you revisit. Because I find myself going to clips frequently to cheer myself up. When I was in second grade, I was singing Hard Candy Christmas to myself on the school bus because kids were mean to me.
Of course.
Probably because I was singing Hard Candy Christmas.
Probably because you were singing, you're going to have some apple wine or whatever. Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, we haven't even talked about I Will Always Love You. Because, I mean, that's a Dolly. That's always that thing where, people remember that as a Whitney Houston song. But it was a Dolly Parton song.
Yes. It was almost an Elvis song.
I know. That was another thing I was going to say about how brilliant she was. That Elvis wanted to buy I Will Always Love You, and she wouldn't give it to him. And Right? Isn't that the story? And then, and then, so years later, after it was in, because she wrote that for the movie, or she put that in the movie?
Like, no, she put it, she had written it. That was how she told Porter Wagoner she wanted to break up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Their business partnership.
So it was a single before it was a movie. Okay. Before the movie. and then I guess for The Bodyguard, what was that, like 96 or whatever? Then
92, something early
90s. Oh, okay. 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 then so Whitney, she gave it to Whitney Houston, and then, you know.
And she said she laughed all the way to the bank.
Yep. Yep. And both versions are great, but I'm so partial to the Dolly version because it's, I just so connected to that movie. And I think it's so beautiful the way she sings it. And it's just so simple.
In her gray suede cowgirl outfit with the fringe and the little hat.
Just, I mean, she's
the just talons.
Like, and on the, and on the porch, just like really like means it. It's so beautiful.
I think this movie proves that Dolly Parton is a great actress.
She's a phenomenal actress.
Because
think she's wonderful.
And she does everything in this.
Yes.
She sings, she's funny, she's warm, she breaks your heart in that scene where she's sending the man that she loves away. Oh, Ed Earl, I've loved you since I was 16 years old.
Oh, no.
But it ain't never gonna work. Oh. It ain't never gonna be any different than it is right now.
Oh, God. It's just, it's everything.
Tearing up.
I know.
But my performance was very moving.
And then, but she's also really sexy, too. I mean, Sneaking Around is a really like sexy number.
She's
like,
just in the lingerie.
They're so like, I'm like, oh, I get it. I totally get it with both of them.
I learned how to hit pause real fast when Burt Reynolds came out in his little bitty black. With the silver snaps.
The silver snaps.
That's what the little silver snaps are for.
I know. I was so mad every time that who shows up? Is it? It was
Deputy Fred.
Yeah, he shows up and ruins it for him. I guess the thing I watch the most is her opening number, "Little Bitty Pissant." I mean, that's the one that I will put on because I just think it's a great song, and I love watching her like explain the rules of the whorehouse. And
I love the rules. Like, first of all, they're just good life rules.
Absolutely.
Don't lay around in bed all day. You don't make money.
Right. And brands belong on cattle. That ain't what we're selling at Miss Mona's.
That's right. She pays the food, the rent, and the utilities. I often, every time that I get a new magazine job, I will play that clip for my staff.
Oh my God.
And just be like, so this is what? And any questions you might have about the way I run this place.
Another good song for that, just as a sidebar, speaking of 9 to 5, the stage musical of 9 to 5, which I don't love, but the song that Alice and Janney or the lead song called Around Here.
Yes.
That's another great, like, I love rule songs.
I love
like,
rule songs and spelling rules. Songs.
What about that? What like boring part of me like loves like, you know, like somebody with a clipboard coming in and going, here's how it's going to go. But I love that. I love, there's something about that I find very satisfying.
But also what is so great about that number and Hard Candy Christmas, which I want to talk about in a second, is the way that it's filmed. This is a director who had never done a musical before, and it is a great musical movie. And so many of the ones that we referenced from the era, like Annie is not a great musical movie.
It's horrible. I mean, you have legends. You have three of my favorite people ever. And, Easy Street.
Yes.
With Carol Burnett and Tim Curry and Bernadette Peters. Three of the greatest forces of nature who've ever walked on Earth. And they're amazing in it. And Carol Burnett gives a truly masterful performance.
Yes.
But the movie is terrible. Like it falls apart. It's so boring.
It's grim.
I hated the little girl who played Annie. Sorry, hot take. She drove me crazy. As a child, I was like, oh, I hate Annie. I want the villains back.
I mean, that's a whole other podcast.
I was always the kid on the side of the villains. I was
same.
Like, yeah.
I was like, Aurora seems like a real pill. Where's Maleficent? She totally. She should prick her finger on that spinning wheel.
Absolutely.
She's putting me to sleep. Dinner at the table.
Kill more, Freddy Krueger. I'm on your side. These kids are idiots.
But I mean, one of the reasons Little Bitty Pissant Country Place works so well is one, it's world building, which I love. I love a world building moment. And two, it takes you through kind of their day.
Right.
Like they all come and they have breakfast. She's going to ring that bell. And then here's what I love most. Here's what I'm secretly obsessed with this movie. All of the secret inner lives of Miss Mona's girls. So when she's walking in the third verse or in the final verse and she's talking about pimps and don't talk behind her back. Mm-hmm. And you see one woman is doing aerobics. One woman is photographing another woman, like as an amateur photographer.
Oh, right.
One woman is playing the flute or the violin, maybe both. And one woman is just sunning herself with one of those aluminum folding.
Yep.
So that, and then at the end, when you see all of them packing to leave, and you get a glimpse into all of their personal styles they choose to dress on their days off. And so you have my favorite, who has the cowboy hat the little jacket. And I think she's Apple Wine.
I think she's got to be Apple Wine.
She's Apple Wine. But then there's another one at the end who has a dream catcher on her sweater.
This is all coming back to me. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so she's just walking. But also there are three who live in like an outhouse somewhere in the back.
Oh, okay. Right.
There's another smaller add-on where these three women have been working. And so all
they
of
were
a sudden,
in trouble.
You see, they had to work their way into the big house.
They were chewing gum. They had to sit out in the back in the outhouse.
That's what happens when you break one of Ms. Mona's rules. You go to the little house where you just share a bed.
Yep.
Don't even get
Sorry.
Your own. Work your way into the good graces again. But all that. And we're talking a lot about, like, it's a Dolly Parton film, and we watched it a lot growing up. And I think that that was true for a lot of people our age. Like, this was just the Dolly Parton movie.
Right.
Like, you would watch this, 9 to 5 would be on.
Sure.
Then Steel Magnolias eventually would always be on.
Absolutely.
But it's so sexy.
I know.
In the sequence building up to the bust, when Melvin P. Thorpe and his news crew break in and expose everyone with cameras and filming it, there are threesomes.
Oh, yeah.
There's drugs.
Yep.
I think that's what that is. I don't know.
I don't know, but it definitely implies that it's all happening there.
It looked like drug paraphernalia.
Sure.
That one, the senator is being tickled with a feather duster.
Yep.
Which is...
it all feels very much that same, like, early 80s, like, the penthouse aesthetic. Like,
yes.
That sort of vibe, that everything has that sort of hazy, like, desert rose sort of sexiness to it, you know? And it is also, like, caramel colored, like, you know, and, like, mauve. And there's something so, like...
sensual.
Yes. And, like, all those late-night Cinemax movies kind of had that vibe, like, Emmanuel.
Yeah. Oh,
and so this,
Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, absolutely. And so this movie, like... totally copies that aesthetic and makes it bright and fun at the same time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't forget that this is what's happening.
Like,
you know?
It almost feels like it's in slow motion or they're underwater. Like there's a languid feeling to all of it that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
And also those guys are so hot.
I know.
I mean, just hot in a way that guys aren't anymore. Like now everyone is just like, I have an 8-pack and I have the lines down my...
Right. No, no,
and
no.
No body hair.
Right.
And these guys
I
like,
miss the natural. I love body hair. I love that really like sort of natural, like effortless look.
Give me a Jim Palmer jockey ad.
Oh, yes.
Any day.
Totally.
Oh,
totally.
I used to rip those out of magazines in the library. We didn't get those magazines.
You were the library thief.
So I'm also, there's also the whole world around the movie that I'm kind of fascinated by. So one of the rumors that I think Dolly Parton wrote in her memoir is so many people, it was such a terrible film set basically. And everyone was so miserable making this movie.
Oh really?
They had a bumper sticker going around town that said honk if you've been fired from Whorehouse.
Wow.
Which in LA could mean a lot of things. Am I right?
Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about.
You're nobody in this town if you haven't been fired from a whorehouse.
And part of it was just, it was a big budget movie musical and those had not been performing well. And so there was a lot of pressure and firing the two directors before the movie started just set a bad tone. Burt Reynolds, Dolly Parton was personally really unhappy during the making. It was the heaviest she'd ever been. And on that new podcast, about her.
Oh, which I haven't heard.
It's amazing.
I've heard it's amazing.
Highly recommend. She actually talks about when the movie ended, she was in such a low place that she went as far as writing a suicide note. Like that's that's how close she came to killing herself.
That's so crazy that she was, because I thought she was so beautiful in that movie, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that place mentally.
And then
yeah.
They had to, Burt Reynolds had to pick her up at the end, which I used to make my father do.
Oh.
I was like, pick me up like Burt Reynolds. I don't know what my parents, like they, it must've been so strange to have this little creature in small town Texas.
Same here. I think about things too. And I'm like, my parents were such good sports with me. They're like, all right, Drew, whatever.
But Burt Reynolds had to pick up Dolly Parton so many times that later she wasn't faulted with it, but he did end up with a hernia.
Oh, wow.
At a certain point, shortly after the movie ended. So all of this is happening. His last day of filming apparently was in December. They didn't wrap for another month and change. And then they do you know about this? Mm-mm. They do a huge premiere in Austin.
I don't know about this at
they
all.
They film it, and it becomes a TV special called The Best Little Special in Texas.
What?
And it is.
Is it available? Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, I can't wait.
It
I must.
It is okay. Burt Reynolds with a beard. And if you thought Burt Reynolds could not get any sexier, you are sadly mistaken. Because it's just like, it's like 4 day stubble. Just like, I'm casual. Mm-hmm. I'm just casual Burt right now, not movie star Burt. And then Dolly Parton's wearing like a gingham thing with her breasts out. And who else is there? Like there, it's just a weird group of country performers.
Oh, okay.
But they're all at a barbecue. They've set up tables and picnic chairs and food and barbecue pits. And all of these people are invited to come to the premiere and they're going to sing and dance. And Dolly Parton wrote a song called, I can't remember what it's called now, just for the trailer. And they sing that. I think it's called The Best Little Chicken Ranch.
Wow. Because they were they probably expecting, like they were just going to need it for publicity? Like they didn't think the movie was going to be a hit.
And also like Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds, two giant stars. Right, like right. let's get as much out of them as we can. Dog and pony show. And then I had no idea that even existed until recently.
I was looking for a clip. Literally learning about it right now. That's crazy.
And why don't we do that anymore?
I know.
Where was that for Cats? That might've turned the tide.
That may have made it better. I know. I don't know. This is a sidebar about Cats. Like, first of all, Cats is like the Apple. It's so bad. It's a must see. And I found it so much more entertaining than so many other movies this year. But I got so annoyed that the cast of that movie immediately turned on it. Like, you didn't think this was bad when you were making it. And now you're going to like turn on it. And
yes.
And I got so infuriated with James Corden and Rebel Wilson for going on the Oscars and making fun of the visual effects team. It's how about the director made a huge mistake. It's not the visual effects people's fault that the movie looks like the way it did.
Well, did you see they released a statement?
What?
The visual effects, the union released a statement?
Yes.
Good for them.
Good for them. And I totally understand it. And it was like, you know, it's like those two are going to get me started on either of them, but I don't find them at all charming. But the fact that they did that was so cowardly. It's like, stand behind your movie, at least like within, or like make fun of your own performance, make fun of something that you did that you can take responsibility for. Don't punch down at these people who are masters at what they do. And, you know, because I just found it so like, you're not in on the joke. You really thought you were going to like get an Oscar nomination. Both of you did for doing this movie. Don't even lie.
100.
And that's actually what makes great camp. It's why Showgirls is so great, because they were going for Oscars when they were making that movie. Yeah. And that's what makes it really, really great. They're not winking.
It's a commitment. You have to be committed to whatever.
Totally.
And I think that. I think Best Little House in Texas borders on camp. So
totally.
So many moments, but it never tips over into it because they are all like having fun.
That is so much heart. That's why I can't believe that hearing that it was like a hard set, because it feels so easy watching that movie. It's such an easy movie to watch.
It's also so funny.
Yes.
It's a funny movie.
Yes.
And it's endlessly quotable.
Yes.
I mean, I make every boyfriend watch this movie, because otherwise they will have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, because I pull the deepest cuts and I use it all the time. At work, I have a whole bit with one of my coworkers where we do a scene where, and I do it with my mother all the time too, where it's like, damn, I thought for sure when the sheriff went up to Austin to talk to the governor, we'd get a reprieve. What did you say? The whole town's talking about the way he fought for you. Didn't he tell you that? No, we didn't.
No,
we just do it all the time. And when they're in the fight and she's like, you use me as your mistress, you use Dulcie May as your in-town wife, you even use a little boy of her so you could play weekend daddy. And I say weekend daddy. I say all the time and no one knows what I am talking about.
I do.
Now you do.
I absolutely do.
You would know.
And it's also, it's a good test. If you get a new boyfriend, you're like, watch this and I'm going to see if you respond. Yeah.
It's like, and sometimes they don't, and they're gone.
And they don't. They're like, bye. It was nice to meet you.
Bye.
That was fun. Bye.
Go watch. Bye. Don't come back now.
Don't
you
come
hear?
Back now.
I hope that this inspires more people to watch The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
I hope so too.
And I hope that we're going to find some new friends who also love The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
It's always a fun, you know, when you find that connection and you're like, oh my God, I love it too.
Because it's not something that comes up a lot.
No, I know. And Charles Durning got an Oscar nomination for it. I mean,
we have to address this.
The governor, the guy who was in the movie for 5 minutes, got nominated for an Oscar for
different
this
time.
It was different time.
Different time.
Well, that was the same. Wasn't it the same year with Leslie Ann Warren for Victoria?
Oh, maybe.
Or we were around the same time. Around where she also was nominated. They were wise. Both of those people deserved Oscar nominations.
Yeah,
Leslie Ann Warren is brilliant in Victoria.
I'm horny.
Oh my God. The best.
But apparently,
but they don't do that anymore. It makes me crazy. Like for comedies and musicals, they think, well, that's not valid for awards consideration. I'm like, these are brilliant performances.
Where are the tears?
Yeah.
Where are the tears?
Right.
Apparently they wanted Mickey Rooney to play the governor.
Really?
Can you imagine?
No, that would have been horrible.
And Burt Reynolds said, look, no. Colin, here's the thing. Charles Durning is my buddy. And he can sing and dance. Nobody knows that. So if you cast him, you're going to get credit for the performance.
Oh, absolutely. Because he was such a heavy. I mean, he was always doing these like really dramatic, you know, he's always in those 70s, like, you know, hardcore.
Yeah.
He wasn't though. Hardcore was George C. Scott, but like those kind of movies, like where you were just always like watching him just be like, just so, you know, When a Stranger Calls, was he in that? I think he was in that too. I don't know. I think about like movies from my childhood. Charles Durning was always like so serious. And then he turns up in this movie and that's why he got the nomination. Because they're like, oh, wow, he's really funny and bright and he gets it. His timing was great. And he's dancing and singing.
Yes. And it's a fun song. Until you realize that it's over.
Yeah.
And they are shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Permanently and finally.
And he's just like a politician. He's not going to help you. He's just going to say what you need to hear and move on.
But then they get their happy ending.
Yeah.
And I love that they get a happy ending.
Yeah. And the stage show, they don't, right?
No, they're both alone.
Yeah,
they're also much older.
She sings the bus from Amarillo and then they just leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the bus, that's a good song too.
Yeah, it is. Beautiful.
Well, Drew, thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
Mark.
For
talking about this movie.
This is so much fun. I could talk about this forever. I love this movie.
Truly.
Yes.
There was a version of this conversation that just started with the first frame and was like Mystery Science 3000.
We could watch the movie and do the commentary to the whole thing.
You know what? For the Blu-ray release.
There you go. I'm
going to make some calls.
And please send me the extended sliding under legs towel scene.
I will. I mean, it's too long. That's what she said.
That's what, girl.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Mark.
And listeners, y'all come back now. You hear?
This episode of Movie Musical Madness was edited by Kyle Moore with theme music by Sunshine Music. And thank you for listening to Movie Musical Madness, part of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about the podcast and me at bpn.fm/Movie Musical Madness.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.